All right, so we've been studying mysteries in the Bible, and we found out that the mysteries are for us, that they're a secret to a lost and unsaved world. They're never going to understand these things, and that we understand these things because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and He shows us what the Scriptures say. So the mysteries are for us, and we've gone through a bunch of these already, but last week we were at the Godhead. And I thought what Doug said was very informative and interesting about 1 John 5:7. I think it's here. Maybe it's not.
Yeah, you just had it.
Did I? Oh, yeah, there it is. So you can see B here. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And Doug had mentioned that this is only in the King James Bible. And this is where we get the idea of a triune God, a Trinity, or the Godhead. And you see it evident. And I didn't realize until I did this series how much it is mentioned, that you see the Godhead in everything. And like I said before,
but that verse
plainly
anybody could understand.
It says it. So, and like I said, you see there's a lot of cults that modalism, or that, you know, that these things are Gnostic. You know, Jesus was this Gnostic idea. But clearly the Bible teaches that there are three in one, that there are three different persons, and they are one. I got it. And, you know, like I was saying, I don't understand that. You know, the whole thing with the egg or the water, that doesn't work with me. I mean, I get it, the connection they're trying to make, but we're talking about God.
Right.
So I don't really understand this. I believe it. And you know what? When we step into glory,
right,
when you leave this dimension, you're going to go, that makes sense to me.
Right.
Right?
Well, I mean, looking at it in this, we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that He is in the Father, and the Father's in Him, and we're in them.
Yeah.
Well, you got all three of those, the Godhead.
That's right.
In unity, in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm with you.
I don't understand it.
Don't
even believe it.
I believe it.
Right.
That's turned over so many times. I don't understand
it. I don't.
I just have to.
And how many people have you heard compare it to something?
Oh, yeah.
Water, ice, steam, an egg.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
The idea that He can only be present in one form.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
That
they're all in Him, that He is, you know, and it's like, that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
I mean, there's communication going on between
right.
them. And then, like we said, even at the baptism of Jesus Christ from John the Baptist, you have all three in the same place at the same time. Mm-hmm. You could see two of them.
Different
you could hear one of them.
Right.
Right? So it's just, I mean.
Isn't there also a scripture that says that you worship God, you worship Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit's purpose is to bring your attention to them?
Absolutely, yeah.
You
yeah.
don't worship the Holy
yeah, Jesus
Spirit.
Said that the Spirit will testify of me.
Yes.
You know, so, and like we're seeing, well, clearly the Spirit is going to testify of God the Father too. And the Spirit testifies of Himself, because it says that the Spirit that bears witness in you is that Holy Spirit
yeah.
that is in you.
What
so,
there are three on earth that bear witness.
Actually, that's still the other half of John.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, this is still, it's still talking about Jesus Christ
yeah.
because He came, the blood, the water, and the Spirit.
Yes.
And these three agree in one. So
mm-hmm.
that, to me, is Jesus coming in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing that matches that is us, because we're
yes.
in His image.
Yes.
So we don't even understand us.
Yes.
I don't understand my
exactly.
soul or my spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even understand
right.
my own heart.
Exactly.
You know?
So like you said, that whole verse in John 5:7, the next verse is that, you know, three of bear witness on earth, which is clearly talking about Christ. But like Doug said, it is also talking about us.
Yeah.
Because I'm water, I'm blood, and I have a spirit that connects with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I don't understand these things, but something has happened in our lives
yeah.
That it is not because you're so smart that it happened. It's because there's a spirit that came into you that directed you there.
Yes, and changed everything internally and eventually externally.
And that's what I say. I mean, before we get started, you know, Curtis brought up my wife, who I love with all everything. But let me just tell you what had happened. She was complaining about America not honoring Jesus Christ at Christmas, and she wanted to watch Jesus of Nazareth Friday. So we watched it. And she had said to me, you know, well, how is it that these apostles didn't understand him? And I said, well, they did after that he rose from the dead and they received the Spirit. And she said to me, well, we don't have that. And I said, Lee, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved.
Right.
And then she said, well, I guess I do have it. And I'm like, no, you don't guess, you have it.
Yeah.
Either you have it and you know you have it. So this is my concern for her.
And praise God that it came up.
Yeah.
Praise God that exchange was shared.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That's what I said. Like, even like Tuesday night, we see, you know,
James
comes here. He has no idea what he's reading. And I almost felt like saying, do you read your Bible? Do you believe it? You know, and it's like you can tell that they just don't have the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always my concern with my wife. I know the profession was there, but I didn't see fruit. She doesn't want to gather. She doesn't want to come here. She does read her Bible every night, but it's almost like protocol before she goes to bed. And I just pray for her that these things will start spiritually meaning something to her. I love my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, this hurts, especially coming from me who, I mean, this is what I do all day long, right?
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, move on about the mysteries, the Godhead. If you look at Acts 17, to me, the word Godhead, I understand triune and Trinity and understand, but the word Godhead, the word Godhead is a biblical word.
Yeah.
And so we'll just look at these three chapters. Okay, so Acts 17, 22. Paul's at Mars Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Acts 17, 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things ye are too superstitious. Gala, look that up in the other versions. I want to show you something here. It says, you're too superstitious, okay? For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with an inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, and him I declare unto you. God that had made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times appointed and bounds of their habitations. See, God made nations.
Mm-hmm.
He set bounds on those nations.
Right.
Okay? He didn't say, okay, everybody migrate wherever you want. He made boundaries for nations.
That's
and
right.
That they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one. This is what Curtis meant to teach you. It's within you.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom is within you. He's not far from everyone.
Right?
It has to be released. That and for him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your also your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much as then we are an offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto silver, unto gold, or silver, or stone, or graven by art and man's devices. So you can see, and Doug brought this up Tuesday night.
Yeah.
The nativity.
Right.
That's art. We're told that
it's
the Godhead.
carved.
It's not to be carved out, right?
Yeah.
Well, it was a, I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
But you could see that our does not show God's who God is. Mm-hmm. But yet they're constantly trying to show us something. I think there's a reason for it. You know, there's a deception that's coming. But we're told that it's not, for as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the God has is like unto gold or silver. Why isn't it, Curtis? Why isn't it?
Because all those are perishable.
And they worship those.
They worship them. They, yeah.
I went to a Greek church.
They
would have a picture of some guy, and we would walk in there and do the sign of the cross and kiss it.
Right.
And that did nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? That God's not looking down and saying, oh, he's such a good boy.
The stained glass windows.
Right.
Right? That you go through that depicts these things.
Yep.
Where Jesus still on the cross.
Still dead on the cross.
Wearing a diaper.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, which,
yep. He was naked.
Yeah.
He was naked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Verse 27, not far from any one of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
What do the Calvinists do with that?
Yeah. Kat. That's right. Yeah. That's right. It means that you he's within reach of everyone,
that's
whomsoever.
Right. Even
not
Jesus.
Far from everyone.
That's right. So, you have one more thing. Gayla, you got that?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you why your King James Bible is perfect.
Right.
Let me read it again. He says, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious.
I see that in every way you are very religious. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way.
Being religious is not superstitious.
No.
I'm religious. I practice a religion called Christianity. My relationship is my religion with Christianity.
You got some superstition.
That's right.
All right.
This is superstition.
When a black cat crosses your path, how many put a little X on the window?
Curtis, right. To look up at the sun, the moon, and the stars and say, those are our God.
Right.
Amen. I worship them. That's superstitious.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh. Well, bringing evergreen into your house.
That's right.
Right? And calling it or worshiping around it, offering gifts unto it.
It's superstitious.
It's superstitious.
You can't be too religious. You see what they're saying? They're saying, oh, you people, you're too religious. Mm-hmm. Right? The King James Bible gets it right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Romans 1:18. That's right, I did it in order. Romans 1. Alan, you want to read?
1:18.
1:18-25.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and all ungodliness
you,
and
brother.
Unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world is clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in the Godhead, so that we are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Amen.
And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like it to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, the dishonor their own bodies and bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Amen. So, I mean, you can see both of these chapters we read, and Jim is talking about that he's the Creator, that the Godhead is the Creator, and there's also a warning about worshiping things made with hands, or, you know, beasts, and calling them gods. So I like these because it's constantly pointing.
26.
Go ahead.
For this cause God gave them unto vile affections, even their women did change the natural use for which that is against nature.
Yeah, and that's why I said you
are
see the result of this. Yeah, we've always been in that time, right? But like you're saying, it seems to be growing. Where it was brought up this morning, boys are girls now. This comes from a 60-year-old who's going along with this foolishness.
I was talking to Merle, a friend of mine, and she said that she's working in a pregnancy center, and she said that miscarriages are escalating. And you cannot dispose of a baby consistently and not have it come back at us. We did not value, if we do not value the infant, then we're going to stop getting And this one girl was there to have an abortion, to talk about having an abortion. She ended up miscarrying before she, and Merle said that the statistics are very high.
Yeah.
Very precious things that that we value in the church, and what God values, human life, is now going to
Especially
be denied.
the human life of an infant in the womb. The most, it should be the safest place in the world for that baby, and yet it's become dangerous, and it's become almost like
almost the most dangerous place.
Let's flush it down the toilet. Yeah. It's a nuisance to me.
Yeah.
This is where we're at.
So they knew God, and they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 21.
Yeah.
They knew God.
They knew him.
Remember, and you said it earlier, when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and said, the kingdom of God is within you.
Mm-hmm.
They knew
That's
God.
That's right.
They knew God, and they did not glorify him as God.
That's right.
And so their heart became darkened.
Yep. God sends the delusion. God will allow you to believe what you want to believe.
Yes.
And if you want to believe that he's not God, that he didn't create all this, he will allow that.
Looking at the youth that we keep praying for, they have been taught that there is no God.
Right.
That there is no truth.
Right.
And God has given them over
their
belief system, exactly what you said. So they can believe that a man can become a woman.
Yep.
They can believe that a baby, if you found a single cell dividing on the moon, you would call it life.
That's right.
But if you see it dividing in a woman's womb, it's a clump of cells.
Yeah. Well, the value of human life, especially infant, is denigrated by society now. You think of this, too. If you killed an American eagle that was pregnant, you would get time in jail.
For a long time.
But we have no problem slaughtering a baby in the womb.
Right.
But it's also now, like in Canada, going to suicide for people.
Yep.
Assisted suicide.
Which is the next step.
Or, and they're talking people into it. This isn't just people who are ravaged with cancer or something. They're talking people. You've done your time. You should end it. You won't be depressed.
Resources others could use.
Their
excuse.
Yeah.
What did the Nazis call them? Useless eaters.
Yeah. Yep.
Eaters.
The
feeble-minded. Useless eaters.
That's how they see. And that's the elderly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's been.
Go ahead, brother.
That's been around. That's how
it
happens.
It's always happened.
Right.
Well, remember, there's nothing new under the sun.
That's right. But it's escalating.
Yeah.
The depravity, the toilet bowl flushes downward, and it's escalating. So, I mean, like you see there, too, what I like about these, it calls him the creator so far in both chapters. It warns about worshiping anything but him.
Right.
And there's a wrath that's coming on the people that don't bow the knee to the creator. Okay, so look at Colossians 2. Amanda, 2 to 12.
Excuse me.
Colossians 2:12. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead.
Well done, dear. I mean, once again, you can just see the meat that's here. There's so much doctrine and meat just in these 12 verses here. But he called it, verse 2, he called it the mystery of God. Mm-hmm. That the mystery of God, and he, you know, he says God and the Father.
And
the Son. So he saw, there you have the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son in verse 2 there. And then he's talking about, once again, that you're not corrupted by vain talkers, deceivers, who can spin it with their mouth, and it sounds biblical, it sounds good, but they're lying to you. They're deceivers. Verse 11, that the circumcision is of the heart. The true circumcision, the spiritual one, is of the heart and not of the flesh. The body
also separates the flesh from the soul.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Actually, the word of God. You know,
yeah.
That's really what makes the division between bone and marrow, spirit and soul.
That's right.
Right?
It's right. So, I mean, to me, you see that this Godhead, you have to, what did Jesus say about having him? If you have him, you have the Father.
Right.
And what did Jesus say about Peter, when he revealed, "Thou art the Christ," he said, "Well, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but the Holy Spirit." So if you can't just have one of them, you need the Godhead dwelling in you. And there's just things being taught in this world that, by Christianity, that don't match this.
Yeah.
We know that they're the Creator. Genesis 1, it's right here on the screen. Genesis 1:26 said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God, I said, right? And I just said, let us. In the day that God, singular, created man in the likeness of God, made he him. So God's the Creator. That word is singular, but yet we're told there's three. I don't understand it.
I don't understand.
I believe it.
Isn't it more like permission? Let us make man in our image.
Right. Yeah.
But it doesn't take all three of us to do it.
Well, I think the three are the Creator.
We're talking about IGM being accountable.
Right.
And God says, okay, I'm going to be accountable. Let us make man in our own image. Now, which one of us are going
to
do it?
Right. Yeah, right. Right. Jesus always pointed to the Father. The Holy Spirit points you to Jesus. You need the reason I bring this up is they'll say that, well, those are the angels. You know, the angels got together with God. But the angels were created on day 4.
Yeah, the angels aren't even there.
They're not even there yet. So who is this? Let us. That's plural, and yet it's singular, right?
The Spirit of God moved over the water.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah,
and the
Word,
Spirit. All right, so there's God the Father, God the Word,
yep,
and God the Spirit.
That's right.
The Spirit.
You understand
it? The Word, when God spoke, that was the Son, right? And they were all three in one.
Right.
They very different in each of their occupation, roles. In their space and time, but completely united together, just came to me. Remember last couple weeks we've been talking about being united?
Yeah.
Think of that. Those three are united, perfectly joined together.
Yeah. Yep.
Perfectly. There's no space, no schism.
That's right.
In between them, but they're all individuals.
Yeah.
and with different roles in the same thing.
Curtis, you ever find yourself praying to Jesus Christ? I mean, what the prayer, the typical prayer is to the Father through the Spirit in the name of the Son.
Right.
But have you ever found yourself praying to Jesus Christ?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever found yourself praying to the Holy
Father?
Spirit or
yeah.
to the Father? Are these wrong? No. Why does that happen to me? How is did I say, Holy Spirit, help me?
Mm-hmm.
What makes me do that? That's the Spirit that's moving within me. I didn't decide, well, today I think I'll pray in Jesus. Tomorrow,
right.
It's the Spirit that's guiding you into, moving you into these things. Like I said, I'm glad I don't understand that because I believe it.
I heard a speaker once tell us, telling that we don't consider the Spirit as the least.
Yeah.
They're introduced later in the book.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, I go, did you not read Genesis 1?
That's right.
Yeah.
He's a person.
There. Yes.
And you hear this constantly that the Holy Spirit, even in evangelical Christianity, is some kind of force.
Right.
Well, the way that I've seen it, though, is that the Spirit moves over it, and Christ said that unless the Spirit moves over it, you
that's
can't
right.
come to God.
Yeah.
So the Spirit
yeah.
moves over it, God says, okay, you brought it to my
that's
attention,
right.
let's work it out.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So being the least, well, I couldn't put one above the other any.
Right.
Because without Christ,
that's right.
we wouldn't be here.
That's yeah. right.
Without the Spirit,
yep.
we wouldn't know Christ.
Yeah.
Without the Father moving
yep.
over us, we wouldn't have a desire to have faith or to worship.
Yeah.
And human beings are the only creation on the planet that have a desire to worship.
That's right.
Even
yeah,
if you don't
right.
believe in God, you don't believe in the Godhead, you worship
yep.
something every human being does.
And we're told that the Spirit makes intercession.
Yes.
That he actually corrects your prayers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That when you're praying, that he moves within you and he corrects you and he moves you into a right relationship with God.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, you can see here that, so the Creator, you can see all three in one in the Creator. Turn, flip over one page to Colossians 1 there.
Are you going to do 126?
We're going to go to 12 to, I guess we go. Go ahead, you want to read?
Well, yes, just 126, because we're talking about mystery and the Godhead and stuff, I guess. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from the ages, from generations, now is made manifest to the saints.
That's right. It's for us.
It's made manifest.
Yeah.
It's opened up.
Made known.
Made known.
Yep.
To the saints.
Yeah.
Who are the saints? What are the saints?
That's right.
It's not some Catholic thing because you did three miracles.
That's right.
Right? And all of a sudden they,
yeah.
a saint. It's those who have been called before the creation of the world.
No matter which testament.
Amen. Yes.
Those are saints.
Yes, those are
the
saints.
The congregation of God.
Yes.
The assembly, the congregation of Jews and Gentiles together
yes.
that have put their trust and faith in God. Pre-Christ coming on the cross, the Old Testament saints.
Mm-hmm.
Post, the Gentile church grafted in with the Jews.
Right.
But it's all pointing to Christ and his offering. Okay, so look at 12. 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light,
mm-hmm.
who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, kingdom of God,
Amen.
Right? Kingdom. Now it says kingdom of the Son. Are they different kingdoms?
Yeah.
The dispensationalists will tell you they're different kingdoms. It's the same kingdom. In whom we have redemption through his blood, John MacArthur, even for forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. You understand that?
Yeah. Christ
I don't.
Is the
he's the image of the invisible
right.
God. The firstborn of every creature, for him by all things created and are in heaven and are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that he might have the preeminence. For it had pleased the Father in him that all things fullness dwell. Now, what I do kind of see here is it seems to me that Jesus Christ is the agent of creation. I don't know another way to put it, and I don't like it, but it seems that Jesus is the agent that God uses to do all these things.
The Father spoke it. The Word did it.
That's right.
The Spirit oversaw it.
That's right. Yeah. They can't move without each other, right?
Well, that's kind of true of us.
Right.
Our mindset
yes.
does not make it happen.
That's
move,
right.
We have to move the flesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tell my kids this all the time. It's not that I don't believe you don't have the desire to do something, but there's no proof in your actions.
That's right.
All right. You can stand at the bottom of the stairs and say, I can climb those stairs.
Yeah.
I know I can climb those stairs.
Yeah.
But you never step into the stairwell.
Yeah.
All right. So you ain't proven that you can do anything. So well, it takes action.
Well, the conversation we had here Tuesday night,
amen.
Where
yes.
you know, James basically saying, well, people, you don't have to be saved to understand this. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You can only understand this if you're saved.
Right.
This doesn't mean anything to you if you're
and
not
being
saved.
Saved, you're not going to understand it 100%.
Sorry.
Because I
should
have stopped with
that. That's right.
Tom, you should have, by now, you should have that thing completely memorized. Known from top to bottom. You should be the guy.
Right?
And
here we are just grasping, just
well,
clawing at things.
Bible.
We don't know. We're just scratching the surface.
Right.
And here we are. I've never been part of something like this where there's this. I've been in churches where there's 150 people, but yet they don't have the knowledge and the wisdom that we have here. And it's because we believe this. We actually study this. We read it. We believe it, what we're reading, instead of just having some guy stand up here every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, read us some things and say, okay, you're dismissed. We actually challenge these things. We really are the Bereans. And I'm not saying that to pat ourselves on the back, but I think what you see what's happening here is God is bringing a whole bunch of people that say, I don't care what the truth is. I just want to know it.
Right.
We've come from all different directions here. Go ahead, Kevin.
I don't care what the truth is.
It's like,
I know it.
The verse is about giving up the milk versus
yes.
meat.
Yes.
You've got to dig your roots.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Understand it, because when challenges come, if you've got this deep,
yeah, that's right,
knowledge of digested word,
that's right. That's a great point. We are told, okay, now that you've been presented the gospel, the milk of the world, the word, it's time to come off the milk.
Right.
It's time to start eating meat now. And the reason that a lot of people are going to be deceived in the last days is they're still on milk.
And I think things God's got to put something in somebody's life.
Yeah.
I mean, trial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adversity.
It has to be a fire. It has to be
sorrow,
yes.
Heartache.
Yeah.
Things like that that'll make them, that impel them to come out of themselves, to reach into something that's deeper.
That's right.
Eternal.
That's right. A person have, you know what it is? A lot of it's pride. A person that does not want to be taught cannot be humbled.
Right. I think about that they compare Christ and the church in the marriage. So visually, it's always two people,
right.
husband and wife. But what you don't see is that, whether good or bad, that other spouse, that the spouse has a profound impact on their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
If it's positive, I used to say, you know, people would, you know, about my work in hospice and stuff. I did that because I had a husband that held
right.
it
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
And took care of me
yeah.
so that I could reach out and minister.
Yep.
It was never just me. Looked like it was just me.
Yeah.
And the same with the spouse that is vexing.
Yeah.
You the spouse will not be able to accomplish what they want to accomplish or what the Lord has for them when they have a spouse that's constantly pulling. So you it like visually, it's always two people. You
yeah.
can't comprehend. Looking at somebody, I have no idea to what degree Deb influences Curtis.
Right.
The one thing I know for sure, she influences Curtis.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's his wife.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's invisible.
Well, that's just it. It takes, yes, we've said all along, God is the author of salvation. I play a role in it.
Mm-hmm.
I do play a role in it.
Yes.
Whether I respond, whether the wife, me being the wife, responds to my husband
yes.
and I obey him and I listen to him. Where are the two, there's two tracks. God is the ultimate of salvation. We are responsible for our salvation. And where the two meet, I don't know. But there are two tracks that have to meet at some point. And we are play a role in your salvation. That's not works. That's faith responding and having him do the work in you. So, like I said, I mean, to me, you could see there that Jesus Christ is called the creator. We shared this with Lance, mm-hmm. right? Because the Jehovah Witness say he didn't create, he's a created being himself. And when we showed this to him, we thought he turned the corner. He doesn't believe it, Wendy. No. He doesn't believe it.
He turned the corner and walked away.
Yeah. Yep. And once again, another one that would come in here looking to just not argue, but contradict things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you don't have the Spirit in you.
God's not done with them yet.
Absolutely not. And we should never stop praying for them.
And same with James.
Yeah.
Or even Sean.
Yeah.
You know, God's not through with him.
Praise
God,
they're coming.
Amen. Yeah. Yep.
You know, faith comes by hearing.
That's right. No, that's it. Like he said, Kat, we never, as a matter of fact, our hearts should go out for them.
Right.
Because they are being in love, they are being fed the truth, and maybe it won't be through us. Maybe somebody else will come along, and the light will go on.
Sometimes God's got to break.
Yeah. Yes.
And subdue.
It's pride.
And then the word enters, and then they realize this is.
It's right.
My hope.
Kev, it's pride.
Yeah.
It's pride. It comes down to pride.
He broke through our pride.
Amen.
That's right.
Because we would be in the same.
Well,
that's right.
It makes me think of there's a certain type of bamboo. All right, this is kind of crazy, but you put the seed in the ground. You fertilize it, you water it. You do that for 5 years. You never see one sprout of bamboo, ever.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, when the time is right, it bursts up into life. And it grows like 30 feet in a night.
Does it really?
Yeah. When it sets true root and gets going, it just explodes. And before you know it, you have a bamboo forest that was just a plot of ground. But you got to tend that ground every single day. You got to water it and fertilize it and tend to it, even though you don't see anything happening.
The nice thing about us being his servants and his saints and his witnesses, we don't save anybody.
Right. Amen.
That's we have the easy part.
Yeah.
We just share the gospel with people, and the rest is on the Holy Spirit. Okay, so getting back to this, you can see that Jesus Christ is called the Creator. And then right, it's up here. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 104:30 says the Holy Spirit is the Creator. Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created. And thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth and trembleth, and he toucheth the hills, and they smoke. So there's, you can see the Holy Spirit's the creator. Turn to Revelation 10. I like these. Revelation 10. And put a finger in Daniel 12 too. Which I should do. Okay, so Revelation 10. Look at this. We'll just read. What do I got here? Where am I? 10, 1 through 6. You know, I'll probably read the whole thing. Okay, 10:1. And I saw another mighty angel come down. We've already talked about this. We know who this is. Come down with from heaven. Come down.
Mm-hmm.
Come down.
Yeah.
He's coming here.
Right, coming down from heaven.
That's right. Yep. 1 Thessalonians. We do not meet him, and then he takes us into heaven for 7 years.
Right.
He's coming here with his kingdom. Okay. Come clothed with a cloud and with a rainbow was about his head, and his face was as it was were the sun, and his feet pillars of fire. It's hard for me not to stop. What led the Jews in the wilderness?
Pillar of fire.
A cloud? What led them? A cloud?
Yeah, cloud. Yep.
Led them? What was on the rear guard? A pillar of fire. His feet, he's coming in clouds, verse 2, he's coming in clouds, verse 1, and his feet are pillars of fire.
The rainbow, Ezekiel talks about a rainbow over the throne.
Yep.
Revelation talks about
Genesis.
Genesis.
There's a bow in the cloud.
Amen.
When I show the token,
right.
What is a token? Sign.
Sign.
What did Jesus say? What is the sign of your coming? The end of the world? He comes with clouds.
And a rainbow.
Right?
Yeah.
What did Joseph have? a multicolored coat, mm-hmm. right? He had a rainbow about him, and they, it's just, yeah.
Is that speaking of the covenant that God has with us?
The covenant, Amen. That's right. Yes.
But I'm going to remember. These are the yes. things I'm not going to do.
That's right. The everlasting covenant. And I've heard this. Yeah, we're in a covenant. We've said that. We are in covenant. Mm-hmm. But what people say is covenant theology. Well, that means you think we replace Israel. Because Israel... No, I don't. They're under the same covenant we were. If you believe, I'll save you. Well, if God, you don't, I won't.
He's a covenant God.
That's right.
God is a covenant God. That's right. There's always two sides of it.
That's right.
God says, I'll keep my part. Abraham fell asleep. Yep. God walked through the sacrifice yeah. himself.
See, that's why I say, Curtis, they start calling you names. They'll say, well, he believes in covenant theology. He believes God's done with Israel. No, I don't. I believe they're in the same covenant we are.
Yeah.
See, this is dispensationalism where they say, well, God saved them because they kept the law in the Old Testament. Yeah. No, they didn't. They didn't keep the law.
And God didn't save them.
That's right.
Hang on just a second, though. You said something. I don't know that it's quite right.
Okay.
Abraham didn't fall asleep.
No.
God put him right. in a deep sleep.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's impossible if you fall away.
Amen.
Okay.
Right.
I don't want to.
Yeah. Right.
I don't want to add the two falls together.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah.
God said, "Listen, you're not going to be awake for this one.
Right.
You nap off.
Yeah. So. Yeah."
Satan yeah. was done with Adam.
Yeah, yep. yeah.
That's right.
Put him to sleep.
That's yeah. right. Okay, and he had his hand, a little book, open, and set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. He's taking dominion now, right? All right? And he cried with a loud voice when the lion roareth, and when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him. So we know this is Jesus Christ. He just took dominion of the earth and the sea, right? And he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth, the things that are therein, and the sea, and the things that are therein, that there shall be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, and he hath declared unto his servants the prophets. So here it is. Those mysteries that we study, he's going to... They're going to be finished. There's not going to be any more things that we won't understand, even though I'm still a pea brain human resurrected. I'm never going to be God. So he's always going to teach me even deeper things. But the mysteries of the God and his kingdom and the way things played out are going to come to an end.
I really love verse 4 because there's seven utterances that he was about ready to write down. He said, don't.
Yeah.
Don't write these things
down. That's right.
I have in my notes, we can't know it all.
No. That's right.
And
it's right.
Amen.
It's right. And you know what he's going to do?
He'll reveal that in due time.
It's going to happen. And we're going to go, those are the seven thunders.
Yeah.
Those are the seven hundred.
Those are the seven.
Yeah. That's it. We don't, this is what's beautiful about this. We don't have to know it all.
Amen.
I can't.
I'm very
confident
with that verse.
I just have to believe it.
Right.
That's it. My part's easy. Just believe this. I don't have to know everything. Yeah. Okay.
And
so
he wrote it so we'd have something to look forward to.
Amen. That's right.
He didn't just not say it.
That's right.
He says, these are here, but you aren't going to know them.
They're here, and it ain't none of your business. Lots of stuff going on in the house you ain't got no part of. You know? Which I like that.
And I'm not saying anything, but I did find seven thunders somewhere in Psalms. I think it's Psalm 104.
Yeah.
But that didn't answer.
Anything. Well, there's actually thunders going all the way through the Revelation, you know. And when God spoke, it was like thunder.
Yeah.
Right? And some folks said that it was thunder.
Well, this was all at once.
All at
once.
Yeah.
At this one time.
Yes.
Yeah. I think
they had a specific message.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
A very specific message.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
And my point is, I got a feeling that everything we've been reading, it will go, those are them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but unveiled right now.
Right, yep.
There's an analogy in The Hiding Place, and just very brief, it's he asks his daughter, a little girl, to pick up a suitcase full of watch parts, and she tries and tries and can't pick it up, and he said, "You're right, that's too heavy for you. Let me carry it. And when you're stronger and you're older,
yeah.
I will give that to you."
Yep.
Her response was what our response needs to be. She wasn't angry or frustrated or...
Yeah.
She felt a peace because she knew her father loved her. She knew that when it was time, he would give her the knowledge, because she asked a very difficult question, kind of a sexual kind of not realizing that's what it was. And he said, "I'm not going to answer that question because you're not strong enough right now."
Right.
And he used the analogy of the suitcase. That's what we need to do.
That's right.
When we come across something we simply cannot understand, "Lord, this just doesn't seem right. This is frustrating me. It just doesn't..." And do I love him enough to say, "But I know you got me." And
well,
that's our walk.
And we were talking about Tuesday night, is when you keep reading your Bible, you keep reading and you keep studying it, because he's going to meet you where you're at in your walk.
Exactly.
So I could be reading Romans 8, meaning end times, and then there's something spiritually going on with me, and I could read Romans 8, and he's going to meet me there. That's why. And how many times have you read something and it's been revealed to you later on what that meant?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
it's right.
He is a rewarder.
It's right. Yeah. Yep.
And you can't seek him without studying.
It's right.
Amen.
And you can't know.
The place he is.
And you can't know anything, Doug, unless he shows you.
Right.
Everything we've learned here is not because we're, you know,
yeah,
we've.
He said
we're
he
so
was
smart.
The rewarder.
Yeah.
We wouldn't reward ourselves.
That's right. That's
reward.
Right. And what does that do when he shows us something?
Yeah.
But the trees that time,
yeah.
Right?
Trees.
And
right?
It's just, it causes you to just worship him, because this can't be done with your feeble brain.
Right.
You need a spirit showing you these things. Okay, so Daniel, so you can see, right there, he's got his foot on the sea. What is the sea in the Bible, Kev? Right?
Yeah.
Nations,
peoples,
the sea, right? The waters, our people. So he's taking dominion. He's crushing them under his feet. Okay. So to me, I like this because we learned a couple weeks ago where Daniel was sealed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now it's being unsealed because the book of Revelation is unsealing the book of Daniel. So Daniel 12:1 says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth up for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble which as never was since there was a nation, even that same time. And that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book."
Amen.
So here you go. The dispensationalist is saying he's talking about Israel.
Mm-mm.
I'm written in the book.
You're
written
in the book.
So it's everyone, the true Israel, written in the book. "And many of them that sleep in the dust," here's your resurrection, "shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as brightness of the firmament." Think of that. "And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up thy words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Knowledge is a Holy Spirit word. "Then I, Daniel, looked and beheld, there stood two, one on one side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other bank of the river." So you have two. One on one side, one on the other side. But there's another one here. So look what's going on here. You have Daniel, number one. You have one on one side. You have one on the other side. And you have a fourth one. "And he said unto me, and one said unto the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river." So you have Daniel getting the vision. You have one on one side, one on the other side. And you have somebody in the middle. That's the fourth one. It's Jesus Christ. And he's taken dominion. Right?
Can I say something here, going back to verse 2? Remember that Sunday school lesson I did on the bones? And the
yeah.
Resurrection? He says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the
yeah.
earth," remember what bones do, they keep the DNA,
yep.
"and they turn to dust, shall awake." And what is said in Ezekiel 37?
Yeah.
"Shall these bones live?"
Yeah. Yep. That's the resurrection. The bones, he's going to clothe them with everlasting flesh, right? That's good. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. This is Revelation 10, right here. And it shall be for, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when they shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So what is time, times, and a half?
Three and a half years.
42 right? Okay. So verse 8, he goes on to ask him, and Lord, and I heard and I understood not, and I said, oh my Lord, what shall be the end of all of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for thy words are closed and they are sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, and the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand.
Thank you.
The wicked don't understand these things.
They just don't.
They don't. The mysteries are for us. But the wise shall understand. And from that time, from the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate, there shall be 1,290 days. I don't even want to get into this, but I just want to share something with you here. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days, but go thy way till the end, for thou shalt rest in thy stand in thy lot in the end of days. So you see there's different numbers here, right? Well, what dispensationalists do is they try to apply. He just told you that 1,260 days, 42 months, is the end of the world. So now what they try to do is they try to say plus 30, 12, right? Or plus
45.
But, that's right. But if the end's here, what if those numbers move this way instead of that way, which they do? That's why the end is the end, and there are some things that have to happen first. Just real quickly. Go ahead.
Can I jump in back into seven? We kind of went over it pretty quick. Scatter the power of the holy people. Does that mean the churches will be dispersed
right?
in the last day?
That's right. They're going to scatter us.
We get our power by coming together.
That's right.
In all unity with Christ.
Yeah. And what does it say in Revelation 12? That we go into the wilderness.
Another reason to study to show thyself approved
unto
God.
That's right. We're the holy people. We're the ones written in the book. It's not just talking about national Israel. Are they included? Yes, but the ones that are going to be saved. Two-thirds of them don't believe this. I just want to show you something about these numbers here. Maybe we'll get into it down the road. But as I say about these numbers in Daniel 12, if you just take those numbers and move them forward instead of backwards, I want to show you something here. I think it's Daniel.
Which is interesting. That's how they number everything before the cross.
That's right.
Is backward or forward. It's going
yes.
in the opposite direction of what we're going now.
Curtis, if the end is the end,
yeah.
and he's telling you that 1,260 days, 12 times and a half a time, 42 months, if that is the end, that means I have to move things forward. Mm-hmm. And they, okay, so. Where did I have this?
It's the same direction you read Hebrew.
Amen. Yep, that's what I was trying to get at. It's the same direction in the Hebrew. Their numbers go backwards.
Same thing as the number line.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah. The numbers increase negatively to the left.
Yes.
And increase positively to the right.
Right. Yep. And so it's the same thing. And that center, that zero, is Christ. That center of everything.
Well, who's at the right hand of the Father?
Son.
So we read from left to right. We read towards grace, right? We see both eyes, Old Testament and New Testament. The Jew, they read away. They read from right, away from grace, and they only read with one eye.
Yeah.
But someday it's going to be open. See how this works? Okay, Daniel A., I just want to show you a number here. This really isn't that subject. It's something for you to think about. Daniel 8, he's talking about end times. Listen to 13. This is the same event. 13, and then I heard one saint speaking to another saint. and said unto the certain saint which spake, say, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both to the sanctuary and to the host trodden underfoot? So you can see, there's saints, there's saints, all right? There's two witnesses in Revelation 10. There's saints, angels in Daniel 12. And then there's two saints speaking here. I believe they're the same ones. How long, but look what he's saying. How long shall the vision, one, of the daily sacrifice. Second, the transgression of desolation to give trodden underfoot. What does it say in Revelation 11 about what's being trodden underfoot? Jerusalem, until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. So there you go. So look at the number here. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So you have a number here where these numbers add up to, at 6 years, 4 months, and 20 days. But it says from the daily sacrifice being set up. So it was, we could see a temple tomorrow, mm-hmm. and it might not be set up. But now, once you see it set up, you could actually start counting, right, till the end of the world.
Well, actually, when the sacrifices start.
Yes.
Again, I not that I'm saying there's not going to be a physical temple, but they set up the sacrifices in the Old Testament in a tent.
That's right. That's right.
It doesn't have to be this huge for this daily sacrifice.
That's right.
It's
right.
They don't need a building.
Exactly. See, that's what I mean. And I think I don't totally get this.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I know this will be revealed towards the end. And you know, those, a lot of people say, "Well, you can't know the day or the hour." I don't know the day or the hour, but I can know of the times and the seasons. And as we get closer, you have, I know there's a 3.5 year period that we're going to be, that's going to be obvious,
yeah.
right? When the Antichrist steps into that mortar and brick building, I know we have 3.5 years. There's also a 150 day prophecy until the end that's coming. How long was Elizabeth hidden before Christ came?
Well, 6 months.
5 months.
5 months.
150 days.
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence.
No.
We're going to be hidden. 150 days, and you see that in Revelation 16. They have 150 days. You could actually start counting. Revelation 2 talks about 10 days you'll be in prison. The devil will throw some of you into prison 10 days. You can actually start counting. Luke 21 says, when you see these things come to pass, then look up, your redemption draweth nigh. You know, I shouldn't say that. The pastor for Asha's church said, you know, he talked about Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, there you go. There's a pre-trib rapture right there. And I'm going, you're not looking for anything in a pre-trib rapture. Yeah. You're just walking around. Poof, you're gone. Titus says, I'm looking for something. Mm-hmm. What? Luke tells you when you see all these things. Abomination of desolation, being thrown into prison, 150 days, where the demonic world becomes manifest, right? The fourth kingdom comes out of the pit, gets thrown down from heaven, and they mingle themselves with mankind. I'm going to be aware of that. We can know, and it is very important to know about the second coming, because I've heard people say, what's that, a salvation issue? I think it is. I think it is a salvation issue, because if you're not looking for the right thing, you're going to be fooled by them.
You'll miss it.
Yeah, and just to leave off here, we'll leave it here because it's 1:45.
But every woman knows when she's going to get birth. She doesn't know the exact day.
Exactly.
Birth, but she knows
it's right.
9 months is up.
She's
been
right.
An elephant for 4 years.
Yes.
It's 9 months.
Exactly.
So I think you're right in that he's given us time.
And he's given us a lot of clues.
Yes.
These mysteries.
Yes. What to look for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You won't get it unless you read and study.
That's
there
right.
Math guy, when you take a negative number and a positive number, how do you do the calculations of that, of 1,290 or 1,035? Because those are the two numbers that are given to us right there.
I'm not sure of your question.
I'm not sure of it either, because I'm not a math guy. But so do you subtract or do you add? Or do you divide or multiply?
with positive and negative numbers?
Yeah, all right. So it's, and from the daily sacrifice taken away by, he sets up a 1,290 days, and then a little bit later, but blessed is he that waiteth for the 1,305 and 30 days. So 1,305 and 30 and 1,290. Would we be adding that, subtracting that, if it's a positive and a negative number? Are they both negative numbers? Not that, I'm just curious. It's a math question. I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure how to assign them their value.
Yeah.
I think I understand what you're saying, that anything BC would be negative and anything.
Right.
I mean, that's already in our system already.
Yeah, that's already in the system. Well, I don't even know how. I mean, when you have a negative and a positive number, do you subtract or add?
Well,
you do both. You can do either one.
Oh,
it depends on which one you are trying to arrive at.
The answer is the greater, whichever is greater, the negative or the positive. Right?
Okay.
For adding.
Right.
For adding.
For not for subtracting, though.
Oh.
Subtracting means to add the opposite.
Well, I think the key
that's the
here
definition of subtraction.
Really?
It's to add the opposite.
Adding the opposite.
So if you add,
sorry,
if
about
you
that.
Subtract,
no.
I just want to show you. If you subtract 9 from 5,
uh-huh.
you're going to add the opposite and get 14.
Okay. Yeah.
Or not subtract. No, subtract negative 9. I'm sorry.
Okay.
From 5, you're going to get adding the opposite, which is positive 14.
Praise God for you.
I think really that's a lot simpler than we're making it.
Yeah.
In Daniel 12, read it for yourself. In verse 4, he says, till the time of the end.
Right.
Verse 7, it says, all these things shall be finished. Verse 8, he says, till the time of the end. And then verse 13, he says, the end of days. So to me, everything.
He's singular. He's not saying times of the end.
Right.
He said time.
But there will be a time of the end when it all. So here's the end. Here's the day of the Lord. Here's the end. So all these numbers have to come before. There are events that happen before. The 1335 leads to the end. The 1290 leads to the end.
One starts before the other.
Yes. The 2300 days, 6 months, 4 months leads to the end. And there are events that have to take place before that.
I agree with that. You're
right.
Right. The end is the end.
The end is the end.
The other days preceded.
Right.
Yeah.
So you would actually add those two numbers up before you can come up with a reasonable understanding of what the end would be. So if you take the 1,290 and add it to the 1335.
Right. It's,
right. You add those together.
It falls in between that.
It falls in between.
Because the end is the end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, not that I'm trying to figure it out.
No.
I mean, the numbers are not there.
A lot of people.
They get
all botched up.
Yeah.
But there are different starting times for that.
27.
Yeah.
This will happen here.
30 days,
45. Yeah. Well, this is the whole idea that they say, well, that's when they're building the millennial temple. Right? Right, because it says, because the sanctuary shall be cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
What's the sanctuary that's going to be cleansed?
The
true temple of God, that's going to be cleansed.
Right.
There will be no building during a 1,000-year period where people are offering blood of bulls and goats, and
Christ himself
is doing the offering.
That would be blasphemy.
It's right.
That
Christ
is offering the blood of bulls and goats
for
the remission of sin.
And not only that, when we read it, when we studied this years ago in Daniel, was it Ezekiel?
Yeah, it could have been.
He's offering for himself.
Right. Yeah, and God doesn't have to offer for himself.
No, this is blasphemy. There will be no temple for a thousand.
The priest had to offer for himself.
That's
right. Jesus Christ did not.
That's right. He is the finality of Judaism. He is the final offering. I'm starting to think that Daniel 9:27, that he took away the daily sacrifice in the midst of the week. I think that's the cross.
Well, and he also, with Abraham, didn't say, I'm going to offer for myself. He said, I will offer myself.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
And the week is 7,000 years.
That's right.
In the midst of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? That's where he came. Right? Everything. You can't make it up. You just can't make it up, Bonnie. Right? We have everything we need right here. There's a fake awakening coming. the whole pre-trib thing is going to fall apart. And this is what I'm saying. And it's going to look like we've talked about the New Apostolic Reformation, the Dominionists, the political right with Christianity mingled together, that once the pre-trib falls apart, they're going to see, what if we do start trending towards Trump winning and, you know, the virtues being taught again? You know, this is a false movement that says, well, we're doing it to win the world over for Christ, right? So there's a false Christianity that's mingled in with the conservative right. And what if they do win again? What if things do start looking like, oh, we're getting back to God in this country? The Bible does not teach that. They teach that there is going to be some great revival. The Bible does not teach there's going to be a great revival. It says there's going to be a falling away. And what if this great revival of turning back to Christ, where there's unity with Mormons, Jehovah Witness, even Muslims, right? What if they're all saying, well, you know, we're all together for one unity, one reason. The tree of knowledge, the tree of the evil is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're the good, right? So you have white witchcraft and black witchcraft, right? Mm-hmm. You have the yin and the yang,
yep.
But they're both from the same. Yes. And that's what I think is coming. That's the deception that I believe is coming, that is going to fool Christians, that this pre-trib, but yet how is it that things will look like they're coming back towards Christianity in America? They're not. Mm-mm. It's Gnosticism. That's what it is. It's Gnosticism. All right. I've spewed.
That's okay.
As you can see, I'm kind of setting up what the next study is going to be, and it's deep. It's very deep, because it really does single us out of not going along with even the Christian right.
Wasn't it Ezekiel where he saw the river and he got in ankle deep, then he got in waist deep,
yep.
Then he got in chest deep, then he got in over his head,
yep.
And he found out that it was so wide that you couldn't swim across it.
Yep. Curtis,
it's always been my heart.
I tell you,
would go that way.
You know what I think is happening in this country? The false prophets of Israel.
Yeah. Yes.
Saying peace, peace.
Right.
And I said there is no peace.
Right.
That they promised them liberty. They promised them this life in America, prosperity, live how you want. You know what I mean? And God said, I never said that.
Right.
All right.